is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
As a child of God, that's proven out by the fact that you are led by the Spirit of God. Not perfectly, not always are you on target. You know, sometimes we do start to pick stuff up and God has to smack our hand. No, but I want that. And sometimes we get it and He says, okay, all right, put it on, do it, try it. And then over time, He shows us the error of our way, sometimes over a week, sometimes over a few years, several years. And finally, He says, okay, now, how was that? How was that working for you? Well, not really all that good. I think I need to get back to what I was.
Our loving Father knows just the right way to correct and guide us. While it's vital that we seek Him diligently and do our best to follow His will and not our own, even with the best intentions, we will often miss the mark. As Pastor Troy explains in today's message, God can use those detours from His will as teaching moments. In realizing our error, we're reminded of our weakness, reminded of just how much we need His perfect wisdom to guide us in the way that's right. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So often we're like Peter. The Lord will say something. I'm going to change this in you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to cause you to be like this. And we go, oh, that will never happen. I will never do that. Get behind thee, Satan. The Lord says, because you don't have in mind the things of God. You're only thinking about you. So Paul says in verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's a key right there. To walking in wisdom. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from books. It doesn't come from videos. It doesn't come from college. It comes from the Lord and knowing what His will is. Someone could look at me and say, some of the decisions I've made are foolish, like getting out of the military. I was told by many that what I was doing was foolish. And if my goal was to retire in the military or to have a secure retirement, then that was foolish. You're right, but that's your side and that's what you're thinking. But if my burden was, man, the Lord is calling me to a direction here and I don't have all the answers, I don't know why, then as I go that direction, foolishness is saying I'm going to continue with my plan, finish out mine, and at the end of my life, and at the end, I'll give the rest to the Lord. Once I do all that I need to do and I want to accomplish, then I'll give the rest to the Lord. That would be foolish. We're not to accomplish everything we want to and then give the end to the Lord. Like retirement for us is, all right, now I'm available. We're to give the first fruits, the best, and say our youth to the Lord. And then the rest of our life will follow. So we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand what His will is? F.B. Meyer wrote something I think is a good picture of how we can at least navigate His will in our lives. He said, when I was crossing the Irish Channel one dark, starless night, I stood on the deck by the captain and asked him, sir, how do you know where the harbor is on such a dark night as this? He said, you see those three lights? Those three lights must line up behind each other and become one. When we see them so unite, we know the exact position of the harbor's mouth and we aim for it. They must be one. When we want to know God's will, there are three things that always should concur. The inward impulse, the prompting. The word of God, aligning. The trend of circumstances, providing. God in the heart, impelling you forward. God in His book, corroborating whatever He says in the heart. And God in circumstances, which are always indicative of his will. Never start, never run until these things agree. So, there's a stirring in the heart. Now, the stirring in the heart could be a desire, but not always a desire. Sometimes our desires are wrong. It could be a burden in our heart. Like, oh my goodness, man, God's really given me a heart for these people or this group. And then that's the person's, we need to do something. Do we have a ministry? Do you guys have a ministry? We need something like that. Well, the Lord's, yeah, you got the heart. But then we have to be careful with that too, because we get burdens for what we want to see and not necessarily for what God wants. And we have to be careful to discern that too. Ourself, it's in everything. Us is in everything. And we have to be very careful. We're to follow. Being a worship leader, I can use, I guess, any ministry, but you say, I want to be a worship leader. God's put it on my heart to serve the Lord, and I have this desire to be a worship leader. Then here's what you have to do. You have to go, what is from the Lord clearly? Well, the desire to serve him is clearly from the Lord. So underline that one. Serve him. I'm going to serve him. But you put on there something specific. I want to do it in this way. So is that from the Lord or is that you? Is that your desire? It's kind of hard to say. So what we need is one opportunity to line up. You can't just bull rush your way through things saying, I want this, I'm going to do it. Oh, I can't do it here, I'm going to do it here. I can't do it here, I'm going to do it here. I can't do it here, I'm going to do it here. And just try to find it. Then you end up like the person who had been on a diet and thought they'd been behaving for a long time that maybe the Lord would bless them with a trip to the donut store. And so in praying, they said, you know, Lord, if it be your will that I go in and just buy a dozen donuts this one time, make there a parking spot in the very front row, right in the front. And so after the 14th time around the building, they found the parking spot that the Lord blessed them with. See, that's the person who's just trying to get a feel and push until finally a door opens and says, oh, it's the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's us. And we'll find out over time that it's us. So we need to follow the Lord, listen to him. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Dissipation means loose living, undisciplined life. There's no discipline. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's our alternative. You want a buzz? You want to enjoy life? You want to suppress those feelings of sorrow or whatever? Be filled with the Spirit of God. That will change you. That will transform you. But not alcohol. Alcohol makes you loose, carefree, and unable to focus. You'll do a lot of weird things because of alcohol. Things you will regret, things you can never change or undo. Ask some who are not murderers by nature or wouldn't murder if they hadn't drank and got behind a wheel and killed somebody. They're not brutal in their nature, but they killed somebody. Alcohol will mess your life up if you give yourself to it. It will destroy you, and it will set you on unrighteous paths and cause you to let your guard down when you need your guard up. But the Spirit of God leads you on righteous paths, causes you to care about others and to consider others instead of yourself all the time. And it gives you, the Holy Spirit gives you a focus. He gives you conviction. There's something to focus on. When you have a conviction, there is something to focus on. Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, as a child of God, that's proven out by the fact that you're led by the Spirit of God. Not perfectly. Not always are you on target. You know, sometimes we do start to pick stuff up and God has to smack our hand. No. But I want that. And sometimes we get it and he says, okay, all right, put it on, do it, try it. And then over time, he shows us the error of our way, sometimes over a week, sometimes over a few years, several years. And finally he says, okay, now how was that? How was that working for you? Well, not really all that good. I think I need to get back to what I was. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So focus. But focus on what? Understand and following the will of the Lord. So focus, follow, and now verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Final thing, fellowship. If we want to walk in wisdom, we do need fellowship. Because left to ourselves, we will become little dictators. Little people who isolate and it's our way. I want to do it my way. I don't want to be around anyone else because they don't want to do it my way. I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go. And we just become all about ourselves. We can't play by somebody else's rules. So we need fellowship. Some might argue we need followship. We need to learn to follow. But this isn't just any fellowship. It's a fellowship that's centered in Christ. It says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, throw out your whole English vocabulary and let's just speak King James English and only psalms. Blessed be the name of the Lord, brother. Let me think of a psalm that I could say, hallowed be thy name. not that kind of talking. Here's what he's saying. Let the word of God be at the center of everything you do and gather around. Let it be promoted and discussed, and let it be what ignites you into the direction that you go. Because see, you can do a Christian thing in a world and just be in the world. I've heard of Christian bands. They get together and the idea is this. They're all Christians, but they go out and sing just secular songs and they don't minister to anybody and they just go out and do secular things. Let's go to a movie, let's go do these things, and let's just go live, but we are Christians. That's not a Christian band. A Christian band centers around the Word of God, prays with each other, builds each other, knows that through this, they are also growing in the Lord, and becoming more Christ-like, and the fruit of their ministry is going to be edifying to others.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way, you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. That's a Christian ministry. That's Christian fellowship. That's Christian bond. Everything for the glory of God. Doesn't mean that all we do is quote Bible verses. We talk about things. We talk about sports. We talk about life. We talk about our marriages. We talk about all of that stuff without a Bible verse being interjected. But we also try to figure out what the Word of God says about those things and whether we should be thinking about that or not, and whether it's taking up too much time. We always bring the Word of God back into it so that by the end of it, we're walking with a renewed sense of focus in our life. Fellowship helps or should help with that. We're able to compare our life. Not that we compare our lives, I'm better than you or you're not doing as much as me, but to go, wow, I never thought about that being ministry. You know, I thought my kids were just always in the way of me doing ministry, but what are you doing with your kids? And how come they respond so well? We're around others and they show us what's important, what ministry really is. And we need fellowship for that, Christ-centered fellowship. We need the Word of God. It also says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, it does not say, and ladies should be singing, like singing is for girls. It says singing for all, making melody in your heart. Being Christ-centered and considering His Word It keeps a person fueled so that there is an increased love and passion. Now, it doesn't mean you go zippity-doo-da, loving the Lord today, you know, like the old movie, Singing in the Rain, and you're tap dancing and everyone's happy. But I've seen even the most manly of men hum, whistle, oh, dare I say, even get giddy over something. I've seen men with deep voices squeal like a girl in excitement over some news or something that's happened. Unfortunately, sometimes it's a Super Bowl victory, an interception, some sporting event, but they'll do it. And the point here is, look, as you consider the Word of God, as you're speaking to each other and revolving yourself around that, what's going to happen is there's going to be joy that comes up in your heart. And the way you express it may be humming, it may be singing, it may be these songs that you are hiding in your heart. It's not forced. Like, worship begins at 9 o'clock. From 9 to 9:20, you need to worship. It's not like that. Although when we gather and worship, if you don't have something in your heart that helps bring forth worship from your heart, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. Giving thanks always, he says, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of gathering together, talking about other people and complaining, or talking as if we're defeated, you know, and then we get those Christian circles and just talk like we're defeated, overrun, can never overcome it, can never walk victoriously. Instead of doing that, be thankful. Be thankful for the things that we have, thankful for the things that God has blessed us with. If you don't have anything you think you can be thankful for, again, heart in the wrong place. You don't see clearly. You don't see right. That doesn't mean that we're thankful for all things, for everything that happens, but that we're thankful that in all things, almost despite all things, God is able to work out his will. I love that about the Lord. It doesn't matter what has happened, what's been done. You may look at a situation and go, man, I messed that up. I ruined that. Or man, if that hadn't happened, now it'll never come to pass. You know what? The good news is God can work all things together. There's nothing we can mess up for anybody else. The only thing we can mess up is really for ourselves, but by not being willing to trust the Lord. It's our will, not our mistakes. Our mistakes will never mess anything up for God, but our will. Our will doesn't mess it up for God. It just excludes us. When our will goes up against his will, we lose. We end up losing and we miss out. But thank God he's able to take everything else, everything you think you messed up. And he says, I can make something really, really beautiful from this. Watch. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And then he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, which is like, what? Submitting to one another in the fear of God? I thought it was wives submit to your husband. I'm not submitting to my wife. And submitting to one another, I'm the boss. Am I supposed to submit to my employee? Here's what he's saying. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord is simply saying this. Consider one another. And if you would have done it this way, if it's just you, and I would have done it this way, and I'd do it this way, and this is me, that's fine for you. But instead of doing that, consider who's around you. Submit yourself to the people that are around you and go, you know what? This is what I want. This is all about me. This is my way, but I'm not going to do that because there are others to consider and I want to consider them. That's submitting myself. And that's how we submit one to another. Considering others, the scripture says, more than yourself. It's like you're saying, be kind and considerate to one another and consider because, do it in the fear of the Lord because God is watching. Do it as unto the Lord. One of our problems is that we can see things only our way. And we're all prone to it. We only see from our experiences or our perspective. We only see our way. And no one can escape it. I mean, we can expand our perspective. Mission trips are great for that. We see things differently. But you know what happens? We come back. We get stabilized. and we get the blinders back on and we see our way. We always drift back to seeing our way. And we don't consider others. So we need to listen to others who have a heart for the Lord, who have been there or who have grown in the Lord, and don't tune them out. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans go awry, or they go off course or fail. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That is, they hit the mark or succeed. There have been times, especially recently, more so recently, when I'm spending time with the elders and their wives, and we talk, and I say, you know, this sounds good. What do you guys think about that? And I get perspectives I didn't even think about. Like, whoa, you would think that? Man, I never would have thought that. And it does help. What you don't want is a lot of opinions. You want godly counsel, the heart of God, experiences and stuff too. But ultimately, you don't need a lot of opinions. Everybody's got at least one of those. What you want is, here's my experience, here's the heart of God, here's what God it desires, and so let's consider it with everything. But there are those who like to isolate themselves, and they don't want to hear what someone else has to say. And the Bible speaks to that too. Proverbs 18:1-2. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. I said it earlier, but there are some who just can't find any satisfaction in life unless life revolves around them. Unless I get to be the center. I get to say, I get to do. Hey, listen to me. Listen, I'm only happy and I only feel connected if you're listening to me. We've got to be very careful because we all are prone to finding our value in whether or not somebody is doing what we want. My idea is getting chosen. I'm the center. But that's not the way it works in the kingdom of heaven. We all have a role. We all have a call from God to walk after him. And nobody's looking at somebody else's back of the head. We're all looking to Jesus. He aligns us. Now next, Paul starts to carry this idea of submission and considering others over into the family unit. Next week, we'll have our Mother's Day message, and then we'll get to that. But today is walk in wisdom, and to do that, we need to focus, follow, and fellowship. Why walk circumspectly, considering each step, the company we keep, the choices that we make? Why? Here's why. Because every single step, every single word you say, every attitude you demonstrate, every single thing takes you either further away from or closer to where you ought to be in Christ. In the case of the Christian, our steps, our choices should be leading us toward a greater commitment to serving him and becoming like Christ. That's how we know we're on a healthy course. Psalm 111:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, just the beginning. So we want to reverence him, consider him, seek him. We want to focus, follow, fellowship in him. And then we will find ourselves walking in wisdom.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes, and when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow.